You've heard me talk about my dog Tucker a lot on this podcast, and it's hard to imagine our family now without the joy that this little field spaniel has brought to our daily lives. That's when we were approached about advertising Superfood Complete on the show, and I said, well, yes, of course. Actress Katherine Heigl has helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, and she is seeing more and more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Dogs across America, just like my dog Tucker, are trying Superfood Complete and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to BadlandsRanch.com/Zabe and order right now to get up to 50% off your regularly priced order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience these incredible things, go to BadlandsRanch.com. That's BadlandsRanch.com/Zabe today. Summer concert season is almost upon us, and if you're heading out to a country show, it'll be all about the boots. With seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more, Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there is no in-store experience quite like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit Tecovas.com. That's Tecovas.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and they ship right to your door. Go to Tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today. 162 games of baseball a season can feel like a grind to watch, but you can put the excitement back into each and every game with MyBookie. Run lines, money lines, props galore. Nobody gives you more opportunities to win than MyBookie. Getting started is simple. Deposit $300 and play with $200 instantly. Just use promo code ZABE to claim a MyBookie deposit bonus. Whether you're a diehard fan or a newcomer to the sport, there's never been a better time to join the MyBookie family. Go ahead and sign up today using promo code ZABE to secure your first deposit bonus up to $1,000 with MyBookie. Whatever you put in, they'll meet halfway, all the way up to $1,000. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie.com. Today on the ZabeCast, we talk TV contracts, NFL franchise values, and more with John Owrand of the Sports Business Journal. Plus, if you wonder why I don't make restaurant recommendations, plus Deadspin's descent into full woke and crazy, and it ain't over till the little blue birdie sings. Your bonus, uncensored, extra 35 minutes of me is locked and loaded, so buckle up and let's go!
Here we go!
Wednesday, May 18, 2022. Thank you for downloading. As you listen to this podcast, I will be hurtling southward on Interstate 95 with the capable Robert J. Miller at the helm for the 20th edition of the Malcolm McLeod Memorial. We are going to Myrtle Beach this year. We normally go to Pinehurst, actually Pine Needles / Mid Pines, but we've been displaced by the Women's Open being held there in early June, I believe it is. So too much course prep work and rooms blocked off and So we're off to Myrtle. Haven't been to Myrtle for a golf trip in a long time. In fact, last time I was there playing golf was the Monday after the Masters tournament with Hootie and the Blowfish. I was there as part of a radio junket. And it was fun. It was great. It was nice. We'll see how this is. It's a little bit more spread out. There are more nighttime distractions in Myrtle. But it should be a good time, and let's, knock on wood, hope my weather is good. Our weather is good. Okay, let's get to it. Before we get to talk to Andrew Marchand about a variety of things in sports, television, business, and you name it, couple things. Let's start with some feedback. Always love hearing from people. at zabe@yahoo.com. That's my email address. This one from Jeff LaFond. He writes, "Win in D.C. Hello, Steve. Love you. Love the show. I'm going to D.C. with my wife and daughter. Where's a place to eat that we would not find at home in Wisconsin? We are staying near Chinatown." Well, well, well. Thank you, Jeff. I don't do these things. You know why? There's too many parameters. Yes, he at least gave me where they're staying near Chinatown. Are you going to have a rental car? Are you okay with taking Uber? Do you want to stay on the subway system alone? What type of food are you looking for? Italian, American, Chinese? Are you looking for something local, something ethnic? If I pointed you to a chain restaurant, would you say, well, I don't want to go to a chain restaurant. We can get those back in Wisconsin. What if I point you to a restaurant that is sort of DC-ish, but you've actually been to? What if it's in a part of town that I don't realize is kind of sketchy now and something bad happens? You get a flat tire, you get mugged. What if you hate the restaurant? What if there's a 2-hour wait? See what I'm saying? People ask me all the time, and I know why. They're just being friendly. And they would just like to know. They want me to know, oh, you got to go here. You got to do this. I mean, D.C. is a big place. Most of the time, people say, I'm coming to D.C. And I'm like, where exactly? Because you could be inside the Beltway in Bethesda, and I could recommend you go somewhere down in the east side of Capitol Hill, not too far east, because that gets to be close to the hood. And guess what? It's going to be a miserable commute getting there. So I don't do those recommendations, but I appreciate people reaching out to me and asking. I say, check your local Fedoras. Go somewhere close. Here's my recommendation on dinner. Go early. 5 o'clock dinner. I know it sounds crazy, right? But if you got kids, and if you're not very patient, if you're with family, you want to get in unabated and get out early enough. I'm a big fan of that. That's become one of my go-to moves. Here's another question. Love the podcast, longtime fan. Keep up the great work. My question is about your music. I've dabbled in podcasts back when they were brand new. I've been considering trying to create a new podcast now that it's much easier to do, at least technically. I want to do a 30-minute podcast called Beatty's 80s. It would be fun for me to do, and who knows, it could get some traction, make a buck or two for me. Well, maybe. One thing that has stopped me is the music. I've heard that using copyrighted music is a non-starter. And for an 80s music podcast, music is rather essential. Anyway, I've noticed you play music every so often. From CeeLo Green to Sweet to Portugal the Man, it's all good and adds to the show, especially the Ballroom Blitz opening with Andy. Makes me chuckle every time I hear it. But how do you use the music? Do you pay a fee for it? No. Or do you just roll with it and pay the piper if and when it ever comes calling? Or do you get some kind of exemption because you work at radio? I know with YouTube, you would get demonetized or shut down completely. Is it different in the podcast world? Don't care to have this read on the air, but I'm curious about an answer if you have the time. Thanks for reading. Take care. Okay, I have redacted your name and where you're from, because I didn't read the last part first. If you don't want your name out there, this is a great question, by the way. I know why you don't want any attention. It's my understanding that essentially, yeah, there could be a cease and desist order if I'm found to be using music that is the copyright holder wants to enforce. It's up to them to enforce it. They can't come and immediately fine you. I think they first have to say, hey, 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 stop that. There is something considered fair use doctrine where you can comment on another person's work if you're adding value to it, but I'm murky on the scope of it. There are podcasts on YouTube that use all kinds of copyrighted stuff, not just music, but copyrighted movie clips that seemingly have found a way to make money. Now, can you get directly monetized from Google, which owns YouTube, for copyrighted stuff? No. But there's workarounds in terms of, I think, subscriptions and other ways to do it, because there's people doing incredible stuff that's using copyrighted material at length, and they're not doing it just for fun, just for a hobby. They've got to be making some money somehow on this. So my feeling and my thought has always been, I'll use it until somebody says stop, and then I will stop, of course. But I kind of just use it as bumpers, you know, the opening bumper. So of course, some rights holders are much more strict than others. I would say that the Eagles are one of the fiercest in terms of protecting their music. So there's your answer. And I'm sorry that I didn't. If you don't want something read on the air and you write me an email, caps, all caps right away, or redact yourself and say, I don't mind you read this on the air, but don't bring my name into it. Our friend Mike in Madison, Ohio, unofficial show researcher who's going to become the official show researcher here in short order, says, Zabe, as always, when you say, I don't think that's ever happened before, chances are it happened last year. This has become now a hilarious running back. A bit. I said with Andy, I'm like, oh my God, the Commanders play the Giants in back-to-back weeks with a bye in between. How's that possible? Well, it happened last year with the Browns and Baltimore. They went Browns, Ravens, bye, Ravens, Browns the following week. Anyhow, Baltimore might have had a game in between the two, but he's not sure about that. Top three Tuesday, because, well, I'm recording this on Tuesday, but you'll hear it on a Wednesday. Bill Davidson in Phoenix says, top three things that almost everyone thinks they're good at, but most are not. Number three, driving. Number two, sense of humor. Number one, being able to think independently and not being susceptible to persuasion. Thanks, Abe. You're the best, boss. Well, okay, on the driving front, I think I'm a pretty good driver. You know how? I've had relatively few tickets, and I have had virtually no crashes. Knock on wood. Now, sometimes you just can't avoid it. Somebody T-bones you, they come out of nowhere, I get it. Just because you have a crash doesn't mean you're not a good driver. But I would say that driving a fair number of miles for a good number of years and having very few accidents, I mean, the proof is in the pudding. It means there is a general constant awareness you have and a general understanding of, eh, you know what? I'm not going to try that. That will keep you out of car accidents. Sense of humor, that's personal. I think mine's all right. It skews the way it skews, but I think it's all right. And the thinking independently or not being susceptible to persuasion. Oh, I'm susceptible to persuasion. For good ideas. For ideas that I go, yeah, that makes sense. I don't think they're... I mean, I can be persuaded to go, well, you know what? Maybe I need to rethink this. I think I've said that on a number of occasions. You know what? I used to think this, but now I understand it's a bit more complicated, and I don't quite know. I'm also not afraid to say, you know what? I don't quite know about that. Then there's this from my man Josh Bolt, about podcasts for golf and the Foreplay guys. He says, Zabe, some background for you on the Foreplay boys and Tiger from somebody who listens to their pod on the regular. Riggs has gotten to be tight with Robbie Mack. That's Tiger's right-hand man, always with him on the course. They kind of started during COVID when Riggs would get inside the ropes and follow and follow Tiger every round. Well, that wasn't during COVID. That would have been pre-COVID. Riggs interviewed Tiger around the Tiger Phil match in November of 2018. Yes, I do remember that. And you can find that in their podcast if you go back far enough. So there's enough there that Tiger has some idea who he is. Frankie has gotten close to Joe LaCava since they're both Long Island guys. And Frankie has mentioned hanging out with LaCava or LaCava's son here and there. So I don't think Tiger really knows too much about them. But the boys have enough connections in the inner circle they can get pulled into some of these appearances. As far as their podcast, I really like it, but you have to like their characters and their shtick. It's not a real heavy golf podcast, more of a meandering through what's currently going on in their lives with some golf stuff thrown in. No laying up and subpar are better options. I've not heard of subpar. If you're looking for straight golf talk, the Foreplay videos on YouTube are pretty good. A bunch of shorter hit and giggle videos with guys like Rory, Morikawa, DJ, etc. And then they'll play as a foursome scramble against guys like Max Homa, Kevin Kisner, Joel Dahman, Pat Perez. But those are longer time commitments to watch those full videos. Oh, I think those are brilliant concepts. I would suggest finding an old Foreplay podcast with an interview of someone you're interested in and listening to that first to see if it's your flavor or not. Sincerely, Josh. Yes, I will have to do that. Again, they've tremendous success. I understand that they started the golf podcast at Barstool almost against El Prez's direct intentions, where he's like, a golf podcast? No one's going to fucking listen to that. That's not who we're skewing towards. That's for old men. Because I don't think Portnoy's a big golfer. Golf's a little bit, but he's not really into it. And I think Riggs was like, no, I can make this work. And so he cobbled together his boys. They started the podcast. And they're huge now. They're walking inside the ropes with Tiger Woods. Good for them. Jealous as fuck. Riggs spent the entire pandemic lockdown at Pinehurst Resort for free, playing golf every day when we're all sitting around twiddling our thumbs going, when the fuck is this all going to be over? That's next level stuff. Jealous. Yes, I am. You know, we're driven by the search for better. When it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't help you just hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. This according to a recent Indeed survey. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support the show by saying you heard about it right here on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. All right, let's talk some television, franchise values in the NFL, and more. John Owrand is our guy from Sports Business Journal.
Zabe.
Johnny Owrand, Sports Business Journal. SBJ, Sports Business Weekly or Sports Business Journal?
Sports Business Journal, and I will never say no. You don't need to publicize the pod or anything. I will never say no to Zabe. I've listened to you for decades.
I know you.
I'm still irritated at you for leaving DC.
I'm still here part time. I'm not on the air in DC, but maybe that'll change. You never know. You know.
I hope so, man.
I feel you on that. I appreciate that. By the way, John Owrand, we're rolling here because time is money, and this is just how we do. I go right into it. Don't say anything you wouldn't say to your mom or keep under oath. Yeah, keep it clean. John has a podcast with the great Andrew Marchand, New York Post, about media matters and sports business matters. You guys are quite the powerhouse duo. I saw that you started the podcast. I've listened to it. It's great. I love both your guys' work. I think it's a great sort of coming together. How have you enjoyed the podcast?
It's different, man. You know this better than I do, but I write for a living. And when you write, you have a different relationship with your audience than when you speak. When people hear my voice and you know, we do clips on Twitter, they feel that they know me in a different sense than when I just write. And it's not good or bad. It's just different. It's taken a lot of getting used to.
Well, I think it's tough from a journalistic standpoint because I consider you a Big J journalist, and you are now inserting yourself into the product realm because you become the product when you're on a podcast or a radio show. Journalism, you're reporting on things and you're trying to make sure you keep things in a neutral filter. Here, you're being asked to offer more of your opinion, right?
We call it analysis.
Analysis. Analysis, opinion. Like, I'd love to know, where have you and Andrew come down, if you have come down firmly, on the value proposition of Tom Brady's record-breaking, insane $375 million contract with Fox?
So that is something that we try to do. I try not to say, because I've been writing about these rights deals for my whole career,
yes. Zabe.
And every time I write about them, the money seems preposterous. I mean, $110 billion for NFL games. You try to make sense of that. And at the end of the deals, they always seem like a relatively good deal. So I've always gotten out of a, boy, that's too much money for Tom Brady. The thing that I'm waiting to look at is that we don't know what he's getting paid for. Is Fox buying his production company? Is he going to be the producer for, you know, not just sports shows, but, you know, shows that are going to be on Fox broadcast? Right. Like what else is wrapped up into this? Because it's virtually certain that Fox isn't paying all that money just to have somebody call 18 football games for them.
I think the key for me, and I get caught up in the top line number, and I forget, John, just how much Fox is paying per game to broadcast the NFL. What is the per game number, roughly speaking, for the Fox contract with the NFL?
Oh, I haven't done it on a per game basis. That would be interesting to do. But, you know, Fox pays right around $2.3 billion per year as part of the current deal.
Right.
And so if you look at $2.3 billion, you know, 37 million, that's, you know, it's not nothing, but it's a marketing expense, yeah, to something that they're really investing heavily in. So it makes no sense to people to the general public or to general sports fans. But when you're talking about money that high, and then you're talking about the NFL, and you're just talking about, you know, getting the greatest quarterback of all time. Yeah, I hate to say it, I'm not even a Patriots fan, but the greatest quarterback of all time, and somebody that's going to be helping to market not just Fox, but the whole NFL. You know, the NFL will love it, Fox will love it, and you can make some sense of it, even though it's very, very difficult at that price point.
Even the Drew Brees washout was not enough for them to go, okay, hold on a second. What if Brady's not very good? Because mistakes like the Drew Brees thing, they just get erased. They get washed away. You know, you're buying a Lamborghini, which is the NFL. The announcers are the floor mats. So if you want the expensive, you know, lambskin floor mats, fine. Doesn't matter, right?
You know what's so crazy about this, Zabe, is it's not just Drew Brees. Think about Jason Witten. You know, Tony Romo is an enigma. He doesn't happen all the time. The idea of somebody coming right off the field and right into the booth and being immediately one of the best analysts that out there, that's unusual. But because that worked for CBS in such a big way, people are now just trying. You see Drew Brees, you see Tom Brady. Not all of them are going to work. Some of them are going to fail spectacularly. Joe Montana back in the day, I'm going to show my age here, but when he came out, everybody pegged him as an instant TV star. The TV networks were falling over themselves trying to get him on.
Right.
Certainly not at this price point, but he came on, he was boring. You know, that's sort of who he was. I think Tom Brady's a safer bet just because he does stuff. He does, you know, the Facebook series, the ESPN Plus series. I think he's a little bit of a safer bet than Montana was back in the day, but it still is a risk.
Yeah, the Amazon Prime experiment is going to be fascinating on Thursday nights. First of all, if you're in one of the two markets that are playing, there'll still be an over-the-air option. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Everyone else, though, has got to log into their Amazon Prime on their connected TV. And while millions and millions and millions are doing that all the time every night now, millions more are also not doing that. So this is going to be a real test. Now, I've heard people say, look, I'm on that Amazon Prime home screen all the time anyway. So to see, you know, NFL football pop up as one of the featured things front and center is going to be real easy for me to go click and I'm in. How do you think it's going to play out?
I am a total skeptic on right now in 2022. This could change in a year. But in terms of streaming big sporting events, the second that you have a lag in your stream, which happens all the time, you know, if it happens in the middle of a pass, are you going to get used to that? If that happened on CBS or if that happened on ESPN, fans would be furious.
Yeah.
But it's going to happen on Amazon. The networks and the leagues are getting so deep into sports betting. Well, when you stream, you're what, 10 seconds behind the play on the field? I mean, you have a certain lag there.
I think it's more than 10 seconds, John. I think it's closer to 30 when it's all said and done. And if you're a big second screen guy, or if you're I'm on 7 text threads with my buddies, your phone's going to light up. Bing, 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 when there's a big play and you're going to be like, don't look at my phone, don't look at my phone. Something big just happened. I think it's going to be an adjustment for some people, to be sure.
Yeah. Well, one thing that Amazon's doing that's different from Apple is that they're going to have a real broadcast. And they're one of the reasons that all these prices for all these announcers went up. You know, they went out and they got Al Michaels, who, for my money, is the best play-by-play announcer in NFL history. They got Kirk Herbstreit, who might not know the NFL well, but he is a polished, he's the best college analyst out there right now. I think he's going to be really good. They have Fred Gadelli, who's a legendary truck guy from NBC that's going to be there producing the games. It's going to look unlike what the MLB looks like on Apple right now. The NFL on Amazon is going to look exactly like the best broadcasts out there.
Yeah, well, here's the thing about the Apple TV Plus games, right? You have to explain to people what Apple TV is. First of all, Apple TV is a standalone device that you can buy, which is the same as a Roku or a bunch of other things to stream your television. And then you've got Apple TV, which is sort of a platform that aggregates content. And then the Apple TV Plus is their premium you've got to pay for on top of that. Try explaining that to your mom who just wants to watch a baseball game. Right?
And baseball, what's the average age of a baseball fan, right?
Old.
All of a sudden, trying to tell them, like, no, you have to pay them $5.99 a month. They're like, what are you talking about? I already have an iPhone.
And then they get to the game, and then they hear a bunch of chatty Cathys who are not really baseball people trying to make it a podcast on top of a game, and the reviews so far have been predictably poor.
Yeah, I like that Apple took a swing. But I wish that they took a swing at the edges there's still the hardcore fan base that you need to bring in. And if they said, like, you know, we're going to do a 3-person booth, but it's just going to be a little bit different. That would be one thing. But yeah, I didn't tune in to watch a pod. I tuned in to watch bringing up with the Nats.
Yeah. Everyone's chasing the Peyton Manning, the Manning cast effect, right?
Yeah.
They all want their own version of the Manning cast, but there's only one Peyton Manning. And to be honest, the Peyton Manning cast, for a lot of us like me, if it's a big enough game, I found myself at the end of the year, John, not watching the Manning cast because the game was too important. And I just literally wanted to watch the game. And I figured, look, if something funny happened on the Manning cast, I'll see it on social media after the game.
You know, Zabe, back in the mid-90s, I'm driving home from work and I'm listening to you. I think it was 980 at the time.
Okay.
And there's a reason, like, I agree with almost every one of your points. You said that, like, that was, it's because I've been listening to you for decades. It's Peyton Manning. They've been trying these alternate telecasts for years. There's one reason that the Manning cast works is because Peyton and Eli are actual television stars, and television stars don't grow on trees. They're unique. They bring in good guests. They have smart conversations about the game. And even if it was a game that I was interested in, I still would rather hear Peyton and Eli call it. I thought that I was going to gravitate to the main telecast, and I'm curious whether Joe Buck and Troy Aikman are going to be good enough to bring me to that main telecast.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Yeah. Everyone's different in their preferences, so there's that. The valuation of NFL franchises continues to skyrocket. Apparently, the price of the Broncos is now north of $5 billion, which would be a new record for a sale. You're talking about a pedigreed franchise. I think the last one to sell was Jacksonville, or maybe it was Carolina, one of the two. I think it might have been Carolina. And, you know, Denver is way more of a franchise pedigree-wise, history-wise, market size than Carolina. Is $5 billion even a little bit light?
Yeah. Again, like, these numbers are crazy, and then all of a sudden, like, they're going to turn around and sell it again in 10 years. And you're going to be like, boy, $5 billion was a bargain deal. The way that they're selling the Broncos is unique. That they think that these big market teams in L.A., in New York, up in New England, Philly, they're not coming up for sale anytime soon. If you want to get into the market you know, Denver is in the middle of the country, but you can take your private jet there if you're an owner and fly there the morning of the games, watch a game, and fly home at night, you know, from either coast.
Right.
And so it's sort of like almost an attractive home game. That you know,
it'd be like a second home franchise for the ultra rich.
Totally. Yeah.
I have a condo in Vail, and I've got a football team in Denver. What's the problem?
Exactly, and that's how they've been selling it. And you know, it's a club that only has 30 people in it. You know, and when these come up, people want to get in that club. And sports, I found this out just covering the business. Sports makes people do stupid things. People are sports fans and they want to be in that club.
But you and I have not lived long enough to yet see the day in which an NFL franchise sold for less than the previous one.
No, and I don't see that coming anytime soon.
I don't either. Jerry Jones said he could sell the Cowboys for $10 billion tomorrow.
I believe it. I believe it.
I believe it with all that he's built, with that incredible complex and the star down there and everything involved. That said... he's like, I'm not going to sell it. I'm going to hand it to Steven. It's going to be in the Jones family legacy forever and ever, which has depressed many of my Cowboy fans who are hoping for a new change of ownership. Last
Cowboys
quarter.
Fans, they need to be depressed. That's not a bad thing. The same thing is happening up in New England, like the Kraft family. They're going to pass it down. I mean, that's how they're viewing it.
That's how they do it. All right. Last quarter in the John Aaron Jukebox. For more on this, make sure to subscribe to their podcast, Johnny and Andrew Marchand of the New York Post. The podcast is called
he adds top billing, the Marchand and Orand Sports Media Podcast.
Okay. Look for it wherever you get your podcasts. This LIV golf tour, this Norman backed Saudi money golf tour, which is now coming to a head, is to me, John, one of the juiciest wrapped in, I'm not sure what's going to happen, big time sports business mysteries I've seen in a long time. Are you as fascinated by this as I am?
Oh, I love it. I know you're a golf guy. This story is irresistible to me. I do feel that the PGA Tour, LIV has identified areas that they can improve and areas where a competitor can come in and really start to make some bones there. LIV, you know, starting with, you know, Mickelson's comments, Greg Norman the other day. I mean, it's one thing if they're going to be a well-funded upstart golf league, that would be one thing to look at, but they can't get out of their geopolitical way. Right. I mean, there has to be a PR, they have to have a PR firm that says, don't go there, go here. When you get asked this, say this. And none of them seem able to stay on the script. And it when and if it blows up, it's going to be totally fascinating. I can tell you right now, just because I cover media hard, where are they going to be in the U.S.? It's such a big market here. None of the TV networks right now are taking a look at them. It's crazy.
Yeah. And then you've got players who are looking at it rationally going, I'm 42. I can't win on the regular tour. Oh, I can make a cut. I can make it some money, but I'm 42. I'm about to be 50. This LIV tour might be like the pre-senior tour for golfers in their 40s.
Which that's a great point.
Wouldn't be the worst thing in the world, but if it carries with it a lifetime expulsion from the Holy Church of Jay Monahan, that would come with a cost. But
can you imagine? Can you imagine, Zabe, when like a journeyman picks up like a $2 million check, and you have some top golfers that are like, why am I slogging against these other top golfers to make half the money? I can go over there and quickly make, you know, even double my earnings. It's it is, Greg, but you have the whole Saudi thing on the other side of it though. Like, how does that play in? It's totally fascinating to me.
Greg Norman has made a lot of miscalculations and missteps along the way. The one side though that I think he's erred on correctly is the side of money. A big enough pile of money, right, John? It It warps the landscape like a black hole in society. Money, money, money. It's always going to attract a certain element. All right. Great to connect with you. Thank you for your time today, John. And I'll work on getting back on DC. Okay.
Yeah. Come back home, Zay.
I know. All right, buddy. We'll talk to you. Thank you, John. All right. We'll end on a couple of news items. Looks like Deadspin continues to circle the drain of insanity with their writers and their wokeness. Here's a doozy. A writer for Deadspin claimed that white fans who dared to watch NBA basketball on Sunday, Celtics Bucks, which by the way drew the highest rating for an Eastern or a conference semifinal, highest conference semifinal rating since 2012. That's a 10-year since stat that counts, 10 years. Highest rating since then. He argues, this writer, Karan J. Phillips, that white fans who were entertained by black athletes a day after a racist killed black people in Buffalo is what white supremacy looks like. Oh my God. He goes on to write, the day after Black America was shaken to its core because we've now realized that a grocery store on, quote, our side of town, unquote, has become the latest place where we can be killed just for existing. Black players from the Celtics, Bucks, Suns, and Mavericks had to play in a win or go home to advance to the conference finals, despite the feelings that all of us were experiencing. And yet, no one seemed to care or ask them about it, meaning NBA players. It was clear that basketball mattered, but not black lives or the black psyche. So much. It's pure satire at this point. You can't make it up. Life goes on. It must go on. You can't just stop and boohoo in the corner every time something awful happens. But okay. And what? So should only black people have been allowed to watch the NBA? What about the fact that maybe the best player in the league right now is white, Luka Doncic? Just asking. Talk about game-worn jerseys that are worth a lot of money. I think a recent Jackie Robinson jersey was going to sell for something close to $1 million, but it didn't meet the reserve, so it went back to the owner. Maybe it'll go up for auction again. That's a hell of a jersey, a game-worn Jackie Robinson jersey. Now, I'm not sure if it was the Jackie Robinson jersey he wore when he broke the color barrier in baseball. That would be a phenomenal artifact to own. But this is probably the movie equivalent of it. The dress worn by Judy Garland in The Wizard of Oz. Wizard of Oz. Speaking too much. A judge has ordered Catholic University in D.C. and auction house Bonhams to not do anything with the dress until a court case is heard over it, because a temporary restraining order has been filed over the dress by the family of the late priest to whom it was presented and to the university. They believe that the dress, when sold, could reach more than $1 million. Iconic Dorothy from Wizard of Oz, blue checkmarked, not blue tablecloth, type patterned dress with a white lace-up undershirt. Hell of a thing. Apparently the family that once had it, and I guess loaned it to be on display at Catholic University, they're like, yeah, no, you can't sell this now. This is ours, and it's worth $1 million. And then there's this. It ain't over till the little blue birdie sings. Headline, Twitter plans to enforce $44 billion sale to Elon Musk. This came after Musk threatened to walk away if the company does not prove it is sufficiently cracking down on spam and bot accounts. In fact, Musk claims he wants a full and honest accounting of how many spam accounts and bot accounts are on there. In the SEC filings from Twitter, they claim less than 5% of accounts are fake or spam or spats. Bots, bats or spam. There, I'm combining the two. Basically, Twitter has said, well, we can't, I don't, you're asking us to prove something we can't prove. We've already told you this is what our internal estimates say. Musk faces a $1 billion breakup fee plus the risk of hefty legal expenses from a breach of contract, but tech shares have plunged 30% since he agreed to buy Twitter, and pretty much Twitter's shares, if they were selling right now, would close at about $25 or so, they think. It ain't over till it's over. And right now, it looks like the experts and the market is starting to hedge their bets on old Elon taking over Twitter. We shall see. All right, that's a wrap for me today. I've already mixed up enough words and said weird things I normally don't say because I'm blah, 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 talking too much, probably because I want to get away and go play some golf. Thank you for listening. Thank you for downloading. Spread the word. Wish us good weather luck in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. I'm going to try to do some podcasts from the van down there. So it could be fun. Could be a little bit drunky McDrunkerson. We shall see. But I thank you for listening. Have a great Wednesday, and we will see you next time.
A 162 games of baseball a season can feel like a grind to watch, but you can put the excitement back into each and every game with MyBookie. Run lines, money lines, props galore, nobody gives you more opportunities to win than MyBookie. Getting started is simple. Deposit $300 and play with $200 instantly. Just use promo code ZABE to claim a MyBookie deposit bonus. Whether you're a diehard fan or a newcomer to the sport, there's never been a better time to join the MyBookie family. Go ahead and sign up today using promo code ZABE to secure your first deposit bonus up to $1,000 with MyBookie. Whatever you put in, they'll meet halfway, all the way up to $1,000. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie.com.